Welcome to Cosmic Aspirations Podcast, created by the Cosmos, narrated by Feva Cristina.
Hello!
Exploring the universe in and of us through a cosmic storytelling of astrology, I want to welcome you to this cheeky journey of sensual shadow play as we claim our liberated authentic expression through expanded pleasure and playful embodiment as a new default for living and loving. Welcome back, cosmic lovers! If you're listening to this at the time of the release, chances are, like many of us, you are going through it too. We're slowly coming out of another potent, life-altering eclipse season that is truly here to propel us into new realms of possibility and authenticity. Yet, these transitions can often feel hella chaotic, uncomfortable, confusing, and messy as fuck. And that's why I'm so excited to bring to you this episode and connect you with one of the most radiating and contagiously uplifting women I know, Lexi Davis. Lexi is a love embodiment coach helping romantics create a love that feels like home. She's also founder of A Life to Enjoy, advocating for healing through connection, acceptance, and one of my favorites, silliness. And you know how they say that some of the strongest, most joyful and positive people have probably gone through some of the darkest hours. Well, Lexi is that beaming, gorgeous goofball of light and wisdom, demonstrating how our greatest talents and our most magnetic power is often born out of our greatest challenges and deepest woundings. Frankly, we're constantly going through life transitions, so I truly believe this is an episode for everyone that wishes to connect deeper with the wisdom of their body and their emotional mastery. And if you want to dive even deeper in these themes, we recorded another podcast episode on Lex's platform called Heart Snuggles. How cute. So make sure to jump on there too. All the links are going to be down in the show notes. And then take a deep breath, squeeze your body, give it a little tap of love, maybe spank your booty. Lean back, relax, and enjoy. Oh, and if you wanted to do a little act of kindness and love, leave a little review, 5 stars, or share this episode with someone that you love and is also going through it, that would be a really beautiful thing of you to do. Choo-choo-choo-choo. Lexi! Hello.
Hi, beautiful.
So good to see you again. It's been a while.
I know. Last time was a tea party.
Yes. And I think that was how we actually met one another. I started holding tea ceremonies in Bali and you came to, I think it was the first one even. Mm-hmm. And right away, like, you came with such beautiful grace and light around you. There's just this sunshine beaming out of your aura everywhere you go. I feel like this sense of silliness. Yes, such deep wisdom that you embody. And so I'm really excited to be having this conversation at the time in history that feels very weird and challenging. We are recording this in the eclipse sandwich time, and the energy is running high. So I would love to know, how are you navigating this time right now and what's alive in your world?
I'm having a tough time over here, going through a lot of body changes. And for the past 3 weeks, I've been detoxing, doing this bioresonance healing, and it's just bringing up a lot, and I'm trusting the process, but it's been hard not sleeping. My whole body has a rash that just keeps growing and it's so uncomfortable. And so It's this like sinking more into trust, which is always the energy, like trusting my body, trusting the process and the surrender, and also just struggling with having no energy, having brain fog and needing to work and like all these factors. And I'm in Bali and I can't be in the heat. And so I just have to stay inside. And yeah, it's just like layer after layer. And with all of that, I feel okay for everything that's unfolding, but yeah, I'm used to having a lot of energy and being quite social and being outside. And so I'm just trying to honor my body. But I am finding myself being like, when is it going to be done? I'm ready for it to be over, which is not part of the process. So I'm trying not to have those thoughts.
Whoa, yeah, I hear you on that, girl. And you know, with cosmic aspirations, what I love to do with my podcast guests is I pull all of the charts. We're speaking astrology chart, human design, as well as gene keys, which is what I love to weave through my cosmic guest sessions. And so we're going to be navigating through the map of your energetic blueprint to get to know you better, deeper, and also to really touch upon those topics that you live and breathe. And right away, what I love about you having, you know, Capricorn Sun, Venus in Sagittarius is like you bring the truth, you bring it all up. And at the same time, in this very grounded, embodied, foundational way that your Taurus ascendant brings in. And thank God for the energy, being the manifesting generator, being the sacral being, having this battery in your body that allows you to keep running even when, you know, the rest can be shaking. And at the same time, bringing the importance of that self-care that your Taurus is holding so dearly and deeply. So in today's episode, we want to kind of focus on these big life transitions that we're experiencing right now. And it seems like you're going through quite a few.
Yes.
And I would love to know, like, how are you navigating this?
And also to add, I went through an uncoupling 4 months ago. And so that's in the mixture. And also my
Olé.
past lover, it's full of love, like the ending with a love ceremony. It's just been love throughout the whole breakup. It's a very interesting, who knows what's going to happen, but he'll be here in 3 weeks. So that's another layer of unknown adding to the mixture. And so how I'm navigating it is being slow. I'm like really just trying to lay in bed a lot, which is not my vibe usually. And I'm doing so much body nourishment. So from getting organic foods delivered from a farm to supplements to acupuncture and all like putting aloe vera on my body and drinking good teas to support my immune system. And since I'm like heavily focusing on my body right now, it's a lot of like body-based practices, meditating every day, and communicating with friends and just letting people know. Like I have no problem sharing how I'm doing and reaching out for help now. And so just being, yeah. And I've been complaining a lot as well, which I try not to do, but it's just hard not to sometimes. So,
I hear you. Because when I look at your designs, you know, in Jinkies, we have this activation sequence, which is what we look first for our life mission, what we're here to do, and then deeper that life purpose, which is how we're here to be, how we're here to experience life in the most pure way. And your life's work is literally in the shadow of dissatisfaction. And then you have the radiance shadow of judgment. So we actually share this quite a bit. Your conscious design and my conscious design are reversed with the unconscious, if that makes sense. Because in human design, we look at this two kind of a energetic blueprint, one being inherited through epigenetics, being like soaked from the earth, from the frequency of our lineage, of the generations, of the past lives, culmination, the karma, right? And then we have the personality, which is more of like the external manifestation of these energies and how we're here to evolve through it, more of the dharmic path. And yeah, it is. With the art of slowing down, which in your design is in the sphere of evolution, literally how you get to grow and evolve and break through the challenges is in the slowing down, which are the times that we live in are not so supportive of. Although the trend is shifting, but then
Yeah.
how to navigate the judgments that come, you know, being the ambitious Capricorn that is here to create and leave some kind of a legacy, is here on a mission and a purpose. How to then navigate the opinions that hold us back of how we should be handling certain situations through these big life transitions, especially when you're in the spiritual community and you've done years of work and meditation, and then you're a little bitchy, sassy freak there of like, why is this happening to me?
Yes.
How do
Yeah.
you dance with that?
Yeah, it's hard because right now I have a retreat coming up in 2 months, and like I need to be going for it. I need to be sharing it with the world. I need to be educating people, and I have had zero energy. And so to create content and do these things, it's my mind is like, you're gonna fail, like all these things. You need to be doing this, you need to be doing this. My body's like, you better sit your ass down and rest. And so it's like dee doo dee doo dee doo, like just like going back and forth. And so surrendering into that. And then I've also just really trying to, I've been pretty brave, I guess, and just showing that like I have so many problems too. And although I am a love embodiment coach and dating coach and all these things, that I still have so many problems. And although I've know what to do and all these things, I'm still human. And so showing up is, I still have things I'm working through. Online is something that I think a lot of coaches are afraid to do, because we're seen as, if you're going to educate someone on this, then you need to be perfect in it, which is so illogical, because no one is perfect and we all have our human, we're in our human bodies. So yeah, I think just staying vulnerable, and as far as my own internal battle of going through it, it's just reminding myself that like my body is my greatest wisdom. And so anytime my body, like I let my body lead, and when my body's asking for the rest, for the slowdown, it's literally breaking out, it's inflamed, it's not going to help to keep pushing. And as much as my mind is telling me to, my body is like, the wisdom of that is so much greater. And so just reminding myself constantly that although it looks like if I do this, everything else is going to go wrong, I have to trust that every time I do follow my body, everything folds better than I could, unfolds better than I could have expected. So just reminding myself, reminders, reminders. Yeah.
Yeah, fuck yes. And like, this is literally what human design is based on. It's like, hey, leave the mind alone. It's all about reconditioning and reprogramming the stories of the mind so that we can come back to the wisdom of the body that is already coded with everything we need to flow through the river of our dharma. And even the challenges that come are here to mold us and grow us and allow us to step into more of our authenticity. Yet, you know, even when listening to the body, when we are moving through periods of sickness, of challenges, of body image, self-esteem, yeah, challenges, sometimes we can kind of project onto the body that it's not supporting us in ways that we imagine it should. And then
Yeah,
it feels like a
go ahead.
punishment.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely like punishing. I noticed the shaming coming in, and the not acceptance of what my body is moving through, and how that is so unsupportive. Like, my body doesn't need that. My body's trying its best to clear out my vessel and to, revitalize me. And so, trying to not trust what's happening is just not supportive at all. And it's also like, and in tandem with like, I keep asking for these big things. Like, I want the most divine aligned husband. I want to create the most adorable, nourishing, healthy family and be this mother archetype. And like, these are big things. I'm not asking for some ordinary nothing with love and family. And so with that comes big clearings and big detoxing and big sacrificing. And so my internal vessel, although I don't plan to have children for a few years, I know that my environment of inside my body is doing its thing to like prepare for this. And it doesn't always look so pretty in these preparations. And so I have to trust that, like, Lex, you asked for this, you want this big thing. So like, you need to realize that I'm taking you, like, trust God, I'm taking you on this path, but you have to trust me where I'm taking you. And so it's like, oh yeah, I asked for this, so I have to trust it.
Yeah, because we've been sold in like the coaching spiritual community with all of this fancy quantum leaping, and like we just wish for something, clap our hands, and it's gonna poof appear. But there is a process of getting there. And I feel like when this, I don't know, would you call them tests? What would you call this, stepping stones?
Yeah, I sometimes don't like to use the word test, but it is. It's just like it's just part of the evolution, you know, because with everything there's challenges, and there's these, it's just like, do you really want this, you know? And like, is this actually what you're calling in? Because then you have to go through this. So it is a test, a challenge. It's a, I don't know other words is coming to me, but yeah.
Well, you know what jinkies say? Every shadow contains a gift. So maybe all of these challenges are gifts, just like the triggers, right? We see them as like these horrible things that we feel and are super uncomfortable and sometimes feel like dying. But what Scorpio teaches us that the triggers are just the arrows that point back to us, that are liberating us into the essence, into the core, that brings about that gold. That can only be found in the darkness sometimes. At the bottom of the well, right, is where the water is.
I love all those things. Like, your wounds are your wisdom and your pain is your purpose. And like, it's just, you know, there's truth in that. There's always a reason for these things. And these are where we find what we've been seeking, is in these dark moments. It's like, oh, like, and it's always connected too, because, you know, just like with fear and love, they're on the same side of the coin. And so realizing that, like, in pain there's pleasure too. And when we start to invite more pain in and not resist the pain so much, I feel we are expanded in so many ways, because pain is a part of life. And as much as we want it to just be joyful butterflies and rainbows, it's like pain actually has so much to teach us and to support us with. And and for instance, like with the mother theme, like giving birth, it can, I mean, there is orgasmic birth, which I'm hoping to have, but like there still is pain in that process. And so it's just, the more we can learn to hold that capacity of pain, the more also joy and pleasure we can hold too. So yeah, not seeing it as something that's negative.
Yeah, the negativity, because all of these challenges, all of these initiations can often feel sometimes like punishment, other times like just what the fucking hell. And I know you had quite a few initiations throughout your life, and it feels like life has really trained you in how to move through these difficult transitions. And yeah, I'm wondering, like, what has kept you sane? What has kept you going? What was that grounding, anchoring force that allowed you to move through this? If you want to take us a little bit through the story, I would love
So I think it all starts with, so I was I'm an only child, and my mom left when I was 5. She left a note on the door, and then it was just my dad and I. And my dad is a beautiful man. He's bipolar, and doesn't have a much emotional capacity, but he's the best. Like, he does his best. So I grew up as a little adult child, as they say. You know, I had to grow up really fast and had to look after myself a lot. My dad was working. He was a carpenter. He worked long hours. I was home alone a lot. I went to a private school, so there was 5 kids in my class. I was so quiet, and then sometimes at home I had to walk on eggshells, and it's not like my dad meant to, but he would just yell sometimes, and he couldn't tell the difference, and I thought it was a problem, and I thought my mom left because of me. So like, all this weight immediately when I was a kid was put on me of like, you are there's so much wrong with you. Your mom literally left you, and you can make your dad angry at the drop of a nail. So it's like, so much pressure on me from such a young age. And then my stepmom came into my life when I was 12, and she also resented me and hated me because she couldn't have her own kids, even though my dad set up that arrangement beforehand and she still chose to be with him. But then it got put onto me. And there's a lot of jealousy complexes and her taking my dad away from me and just so many things, so many things. And a lot of other things in the mix too, like sexual abuse in high school, car accident where someone hit me and they died on the wheel. So like watching, seeing a dead person right in front of my eyes. And then a few months later, my boss, who was like my second mother, her and her husband had a private jet and he was the pilot. And I was supposed to see her the next day and their plane exploded in the sky. And just like these things where I'm just like, what? And the next year, three of my friends died by suicide that were all under the age of 24. And so many like big things. And I didn't even have, I didn't cry. I hadn't cried until. I mean, when these big things happened, I cried, but on a day-to-day basis, not until I was, it was either 22 or 24 when I did my yoga training, and that's when I like learned about my body and that I'm more than just what's in my mind. And I started to understand these traumatic things and trauma, and I started to cry and feel emotions, and like this opened up a whole world for me. And I studied abroad in New Zealand. I moved to Australia for 2 years. And I started to, I just didn't feel at home in America for one. And so leaving, I was expanded in so many ways. And I was just like constantly brought these fairy angel humans that were just like, oh, the most divine people on my path. But, anyways, I've gone through a lot of different life situations and experienced a lot of hardships in life. And I truly don't know because my parents in those moments didn't know how to support me, didn't neither of them, my mom or my dad, don't have emotional capacity. But I knew that when I was growing up, I didn't want anyone to feel how I felt, that lonely and that unlovable and that abandoned. And so I just made sure that anyone that came across me in my life, that I would make sure that they feel loved and like cherished. And, I wish I got the special notes in my lunchbox and that my parents would attend the school meetings. They wouldn't even come to like the things. And so I always made sure that like I would do thoughtful things for my friends. And anyways, I'm going on a tangent, but I think it was just that the main thing is remembering that like it's my responsibility to change my lineage and to change. Like, I know deep down that I want to have a family. And so knowing that like I get to change all these things for everyone that's to come. And so I think that just keeps rooting me in that and knowing that I don't know, there's just this like there's just this energy in me that's I think I can't say it was cultivated necessarily. Like obviously I've worked on it, but from when I was young, I've kind of always had this in me. And because obviously with my circumstances, I could have gone far left and not gone where I am today. But I always had this, I think because I had that independence and I always had to figure everything out on my own anyway since I was young, that's always been instilled in me. Like I had to figure it out or else nothing was gonna happen. So yeah, I think I guess that's where it came from.
Wow. A full freaking spectrum of it, truly. Wow. Really honoring you through this deep cycles and ongoing processes that I feel like in this moment it's really you have a choice in a way. You either take it or you leave it through such big initiations and looking at your chart, the descendant in your chart, the other people, what you feel kind of drawn to, attracted to in some ways with connections, it's in Scorpio. And so I would imagine that a lot of connections, a lot of relationships, a lot of people in your life would be reflecting some kind of a dark, shadowy aspect that really initiates you into diving through the edges, into the mystery, into the unknown, into that which is uncomfortable. And at the same time, you have Jupiter there, which is the teacher, it is the guru. So this is where the biggest teachings come from. And even in Jing Keys, our core wounding, once we are willing to face that which we want to run away from the most, from there, in that embrace, our greatest talent arises, our purpose starts blooming. Yeah. And I know that your path kind of then turned into specializing into embodiment and relationships. So how did that come about?
Yeah, so when I finished college, I knew I wasn't going to go into the corporate world. And so when I was in Australia, the last place I went to was a holistic health retreat. And my roommate was this beautiful woman, Daisy, and she was a life coach, and she was telling me about it, and I was flabbergasted. I couldn't believe that she gets paid to do that. And she was like, you can do it too. It's not, there's no regulations. Like, it's really easy to set up. And so I started the journey of doing that, and started with more self-discovery coaching and confidence and helping people with people pleasing. And I just get so fulfilled from helping others that there's just no other way I could do anything else, I feel like. And I love humans. And I love just understanding people and learning about their stories. And so, yeah, I just felt such a deep connection to that. And then I've always had this, like, you know, little girl princess fantasy of falling in love and having a good relationship. And although I wasn't role modeled that, I did have a lot of friends, families that had such beautiful dynamics. And I just loved watching that. It was so fascinating to me. And it made me so excited. And I only had one boyfriend in my life. Now I've had two boyfriends in my life, but I haven't been in many relationships either, but have a lot of relationships with people. Like, my friends are my family. And so I have a lot of friends, and people are like, you can't have that many best friends. But to me, that would be like saying you can't have that many family members. So it's like,
I
that's
mean,
not
moon in Gemini, you are literally the networker, and you're a 2-4 profile in human design, which is again that connector.
It's one of my superpowers for sure. So I just, like, that lights me up, and I have this gift of attracting the coolest people. And so, yeah, so then I started, you know, as I have all these connections, I started hearing all these relationship struggles, and I was so confused because it just didn't make sense. Like, love is such a beautiful, nourishing space where so much can unfold, and it's just like, it's this safe haven for life to just flourish in a million ways. But I'm hearing how relationships are pulling people back and creating more chaos in their lives. And so I just started to, for my own life, like, research and learn about it and understand, like, why do I struggle so much with this, and all my abandonment issues and, like, all these things. And as I started to learn, it just, I was like, oh, I love it. Like, it just lit me up. And I kept getting signs to move into relationships, but then I wasn't feeling worthy of it since I wasn't in a relationship at that time, and feeling like, oh, I'm my imposter, all these things. And I realized, like, no, I got a lot of worth over here. I know what I want, and I get to educate people on this. And I also help people all the time, all my friends and all my clients with their relationships. And so when I look back at all my coaching clients, it's always, the relationship has always been in there and a huge factor of it, and the part that I love the most. And so, yeah, I started to switch into that. And then as I was learning in my own field, I started doing a lot of nervous system work, and that is about the body. And that taught me how, like, that gave me the most quickest transformations. I did mindset work and counseling and all these things. And I wasn't moving forward. And it was so confusing because I was doing more quote unquote work than anyone around me, and yet I'm not moving. And so once I got into the nervous system world and embodiment, I really saw quick progress. And that's why, as I've been talking about, my body is my everything, because I've seen the difference. And so that just truly fascinated me. And I know, like, nervous system work and body work is a huge calling of mine. I've always loved my hands. And in my yoga classes, I also teach yoga, I would always give massages, and I could just tell it, like, my touch would do something to people. And I love to touch. Like, touch is my number one love language. And so, yeah, I kept seeing all these elements, and then it's still unfolding, but yeah, it's come into this, like, if there's one thing I want to do in this world, it's definitely bring more romantic love. Like, that is so fucking exciting. And so that more children can grow up in these safe, nourishing homes. So there's less like kids, so the kids can have a childhood like I didn't get to. And then, yeah, and then we have these bodies, and like our sensuality and sexuality is so young. So these elements just excite me, and that's kind of, I guess, how I got here. Yeah, there's all these little like breadcrumbs I was listening to.
Wow, I love receiving you in all of this. And like as you're talking, like all of these sparks go up in my head as I'm like connecting with your charts and just seeing how beautiful that hermit line, the second line in human design, expresses through you as being that natural, and especially being a generator type. We're here to respond to life, to that which brings us joy and pleasure, knowing that as we are prioritizing our well-being, the right opportunities, the right people come to us. And then following that which comes the most naturally out of you as this burst of passion, knowing also that in Jinkies, your attraction line is the line of passion. Yeah, it's really beautiful to see someone live their design so beautifully, and yet they're like this. It's a beautiful system that allows us to see these little traps that we get stuck in. And it's usually when what you're saying and what I'm hearing and what I'm feeling is, at the end of the day, we all just long for connection, for closeness, for unity, for love, in whatever form it is, whatever way we turn, whether it's through food, whether it's through our work, sharing our messages, going down the road of addictions, and so many, just ways we try to cope with the hurt and the pain and the lack that has been kind of infused through this lens of separation. And yeah, I know that this is where a lot of your work lies, and how do we move through that in, embodied ways, in holistic way? So how do we work with the body, the mind, the heart, the soul, in the ways that allow us to be in the healing space with all of these pain points?
Yeah, I it's been a journey for me to get to where I am, and I know that it's possible for anyone, and just knowing the possibilities and opening your mind. I think having an open mind is one of the most important things, that there are so many ways that we can move through something, and there's not just a black and white way. So that alone, I try so many modalities always, and that's why I love my retreats and coaching, because I bring and infuse so many things to find what works for you. And we're all such unique human beings. So keep exploring until you find something that lights you up, until you get that feeling in your body that excites you. It feels yum, your heart is open, you want to learn more, versus continuing to do something. Like, obviously there's an aspect of discipline in anything we do. However, some things just really don't feel good to our body, and there's this contraction, this closing, this pulling away, and kind of watching the response in your body to these elements, and even to people. This is the biggest one. I am drawn to people immediately. When I'm in a room, I can feel so quickly who I want to talk to and who I don't. And honoring and respecting that is a huge element too. And when you do that, you will be brought people into your life that will support your healing journey. The amount of people that have dropped in, yeah, like us. And like at that tea party, I was like, I don't know. And then I just felt a calling to go, and I went. And so it was that simple. I saw the text in the group, and I went alone. Like, a lot of people are sometimes afraid to go alone, but just doing these things, when you feel that yes in your body, following that, you just, it always brings you to the most magnificent people and places that are going to support your journey. So the more you follow that, the more you follow that, you will find these beautiful gifts along the way. And then spring, go
May
ahead.
I just add something? Because like I'm full on yes, and sometimes people say you just gotta be yourself. And when we're so deeply covered with all of the automatisms and all of the coping mechanisms, sometimes what feels like being yourself is actually not your true self. So I wonder if that is always the case when you say, oh, your body knows, your gut feeling knows, because sometimes that first reaction is going to actually guide you into the familiarity, into the comfort zone. So it is about the fine tuning. And that's why I love the systems that I work with, because I feel like they give us some kind of a framework of reflection. That allows us to understand more. When is it actually in alignment? How does our energy actually respond? And what are the little traps? Because sometimes that first draw of the body, even when it is contraction, if your, let's say, sense of worth, lovability, possibility is not expanded, you're gonna contract because you don't feel like you're able to receive it.
Yes, I 100% agree. And my method of I think your systems are so good. I'm not versed in them. I haven't used them like that, but I know they are. And but what I've done personally is you're gonna fuck up. And I fuck up a lot. And I just know that, like knowing that truth of I'm gonna get it wrong and I'm still gonna try. And I'm gonna think this is my intuition, or I'm gonna think this person is good for me. And then that like tuning of the subtle awareness in yourself, you'll start to learn your body and those things. You'll start to feel there actually is a difference in the trauma versus intuition, that yes and that no. And yes, our body's connected and our intuition is in our body and so is our trauma, but there is different flavors to it and different energies. But it requires you to notice the subtleness and tap into a deeper awareness. And that can only truly happen through you messing up and you trying and seeing what is this and what isn't. And even me to this day, I've been doing this years, I still get it wrong. I get it wrong a lot less. A lot less. However, I still get it wrong because we're still learning. So, and I still have plenty to move through. So,
Fuck yeah.
that is just one of the truths for me that I'm just like, okay. And
Absolutely.
then knowing that, like, when I do, trying my best not to make it mean something about me, not to make it mean that, not to feed that belief of, oh, yep, see, I am unworthy.
Taking it
Instead,
personally
yes, the
and
taking
turning
it
a blind
personally, which it's so hard. But that's where like having a support, like I've always had a really good community. And also I've hired coaches. I've had coaches for years now because I value myself and that investment of a deep, intimate relationship so much. And having that really helps you get a new perspective on all these different elements of our lives. And it helps you fine-tune yourself and having that. We all need someone to like hold us up when we're falling back. We need. And so if you don't actually have that in your community, and even if you do have it in your community, it's also nice to have some outside support. But making sure you have people to lean on is essential. And so if that hasn't been prioritized in your life, if you have not prioritized friendships or community, then that is like a number one thing that I work on with people because you need to have that. I fully believe in community care. I know for a fact I would not be where I am without my community. They're everything to me, everything. And even my online community, all my internet friends, like it means so much. And so if you have that makes it okay to fuck up because they're gonna come and be like, we love you, it's okay. And I'm like, meh, meh, I don't feel that way, but they're gonna, you know. So that's a huge element too.
I 100% agree, and it's been a missing link in my healing journey, I figured. I feel like we share that sense of independence of feeling like, okay, I need to do it alone. And then I also have a lot of Scorpio, which is like, I don't trust your capacity to hold my shit. And it's not about holding your shit, it's about reflecting that love and connection and worthiness back to you. But co-regulation is something that has been so underrated and often seen as a weakness, like, oh, you're not able to handle it alone. So these are huge pieces also when moving through big transitions. So thank you for speaking about this. I feel this deeply.
Yeah, so and especially in America, I can speak on it. Communities are not prioritized. It's all about the individual. You need to succeed. You got to do it on your own. And so, yeah, I think that's one of the biggest switch. If you could make that switch alone in your life, so much will change. And more like so, as I kind of talked about it in the last piece I was talking about is building that connection with your body, whether it is through yoga, through working out, through walking, through just giving yourself a massage when you put on lotion, something to really connect with your body. And it doesn't need to be big and crazy. And I don't even do yoga every day, and I teach yoga and all these things, but like just putting lotion on my body every day, I do that. And so creating space to drop into your body so you can start to build that harmonious relationship with it and let it lead you and let it guide you and let yourself feel your emotions, because our emotions aren't really processed in our mind. They start in our body. And when you realize that, you're like, oh, I feel this sensation. My heart is racing right now. Oh, my fists are clenching. I'm feeling some anger. And when you can move those emotions through your body, oh my God, you feel this liberation and you no longer projecting and hurting other people. And that's what's most important. The reason I do this work, I'm done hurting other people. I hate hurting other people. It's not fun. And so when we have control and when we have awareness of our bodies, this, you bring that into every relationship, and it expands your ability to hold space for other people, like you're just saying, where we can actually show up for others and help them through those times. And we can, but it really requires you to do that with yourself first. It's going to be super hard to hold someone through, for instance, a death. There was very few people when I was going through death that knew what to do, because, you know, I didn't even know what to do either. But now I have this gift of when someone tells me that someone just died, I got you. I know, like, I got you, you know? So, there's so much gifts in feeling your depths of your own emotions through that body piece that can show up in all of your relationships.
Amen, sister. Fuck yes. Yeah. And, you know, that just hit a soft spot for me moving through that. Yeah. When everything in your system kind of gives up, like you, it's the chaotic tornado that, yeah, sweeps you off. And we are recording this in the Scorpio season, the season of the death. And I would just love to know if you have any heartful nuggets for either those who are moving through their inner deaths, like the dissolution of their personalities, of the big transitions in life, or going through the death of the loved one or someone else going through it. What is something that you would kind of love them to receive?
Yeah, I think grief is one of the most challenging sensations to be with, and it's also really confusing because it is a wave, and it's not, grief in itself isn't just one emotion. It's so many. It's sadness, it's anger, it's disbelief, it's confusion. It's kind of a whole knot of sensations at once. And also it comes and it goes and it ebbs and it flows like no other emotion. Like it truly, it's up and down all around. And so just recognizing that you're not crazy, you're not any of these other things, and knowing that this is part of the unfolding of grief. And the more that you can welcome grief in, the more your heart cracks open. And it's scary because it means you're feeling more, and it feels, can feel overwhelming. And it's, there is no control in it. It's a complete surrender to that feeling. But when you do it, the relief comes so instantaneously. Like when I really dropped into the, like I don't even know how to describe it, such loud, ugly crying that would just like shaking, curling into a ball, and just in a puddle of tears. When I went there, within like 5 minutes, I was like, oh wow, I feel so much better. Or when that like rush of rage came, going outside, grabbing some rocks and just smashing them on the floor and releasing it and not making it mean that I'm an angry person or that I'm going to hurt someone or any of these things, but it's just this energy needs to move through me. And so I'm going to go and release it. And when I could do that, it's like, you know, making sounds and adding all these elements, and it feels good. So my
moving
biggest,
my
biggest tip, go.
I call this conscious drama club, when you actually allow yourself to go nuts, to go crazy, instead of like repressing it, resisting it. And what you said at the beginning of the conversation, like you're moving through a lot right now, yet you have the responsibilities. And there it comes like, yeah, but like, what is that core responsibility that you have for yourself, for life, and for the core that liberates the rest? Because otherwise we're just riding the wave on a motor that's about to explode in our ass. So that is the responsibility that we have for love and the liberation. And when you said, you know, you're here to like really help others, it also comes to bridge the gaps of that gap of that separation. I remember Teal Swan once saying that unless you're able and willing to take someone else's needs as your own, you're not ready for the relationship. And so often we act as if it's all just our responsibility. And it's like, no, it's wider than that. It's bigger than that. It's for the whole of the humanity. It's that oneness that connects us.
Love that oneness. It's so good. And yeah, going into that a little bit more, it's knowing that if you want to love, you're gonna have to be okay with the depths of your grief. You're gonna have to be okay with these cycles, because the bigger the love you're trying to call on, even in friendships or anything, that requires, it's gonna be a constant death and rebirth cycle. And knowing that that is part of it. And so it's when these opportunities of grief arise, how can you support yourself to go there and feel the depths of it? And then also self-resource. So what I like to combine with it is, yeah, you feel, but then if you're going to keep just feeling and feeling and feeling, you're going to not be okay. So you need to fill up your cup again with something nourishing. And sometimes in those moments can feel like you can't do anything. So, you know, ordering some tea, ordering flowers, taking your feet and putting them in the grass, like simple little things, but really making sure that you are resourcing yourself is essential in the moments of grief. Oh, and the biggest thing is not isolating, because grief wants you to isolate and do everything on your own and to be in the misery on your own. But that is the exact opposite of what we need in grief. We actually need community once again, even more. So it is. And obviously it's like really important for your friends to step in, because it's hard to reach out in those moments, but it's really your responsibility to be seen in your grief. And that is so courageous and so brave and so essential.
Yeah. And discipline that brings. I know your strong Capricorn there is a big advocate for that, and you touched upon it before, of like having some kind of a practice, having some kind of a grounding space, so that it keeps you grounded, and that allows you to close these cycles. Because I think what you said is so crucial, and I just want to voice it once again, that yes, creating space to feel, to move, to acknowledge, to love. And so often, what is that counterbalance that actually lifts you out of the loop? Because otherwise you close the loop, but you're still in the circle. And so what is that which allows you to step out of the circle?
Mm-hmm.
Magnet. And yeah, thank you for speaking on that. I feel like it's such a big, big part. And this discipline, this practice can look in so many different ways, right? And some people need a stronger routine that looks the same, so that their mind can relax and let go into the familiarity, into a new healthy familiarity. And some need a lot of shifts and changes to keep it spicy, to keep it moving. And I read somewhere on your site that, you know, you bring the healing through connection, acceptance, and silliness. And that silliness is really something that I so deeply connect with, the sass of it all. Yeah, so I would love to know, as we start to slowly wrap it up, yeah, what brings that silliness out of you? How, in the moments when it's really difficult, how do you infuse the silliness? Because sometimes it's really hard to do that.
Silliness is so, so important, and it's one of the highest vibrations we have, and it's our inner child, every single child. I was a nanny 12 years. We got this insatiable silliness and playfulness in us, and we can. I want that's the other day. I was at the beach watching this kid like playing the waves by himself and raw and just going in there. And I was just, he's in his own world playing, he does not care what anyone thinks. And I really, it's such a hard question, because I have just such a silliness in me. I'm just a weirdo, and I can entertain myself for hours on my own. But just if you struggle to tap into that silliness, connecting with what brought you joy as a child, like what are those little fun things that you did through art or through imagination or silly accents, making up characters, playing with archetypes, and bringing that in. Yeah. And just remembering that, like, we all have this playful nature, like we all do, and finding like what brings that out in you. I have a lot of silly friends, and like some friends, woof, we bring out the silliest of sillies of each other. And like my past lover, we were so silly together constantly. And so, and making sure that, once again, back to the community, you infuse some of those people into your life. Like, I know to call some of those people into my life when I'm feeling down. Like my past lover, anytime I was down, he would hold space for my sadness, but then he always drop in those jokes and just crack me open. And that was just so healing. Sometimes I'd be like, I don't want to laugh right now. And then it felt good. And so I know it's such a common theme in my talk, but like having that, those people around you is important, that can bring that out of you in those moments and be like, bring the silliness. I'm trying to think what else helps me when I'm by myself to be silly.
Yeah, but like really, I feel like the purpose of life is to fucking giggle. Like that for me is one of the most profound spiritual practices. Just fucking giggle, because we tend to take life so fucking seriously, and it's really not. And that can sometimes be controversial in times of great despair and horrific events happening in the world, and like it pulls you down into this, oh my God, I need to do something, I need to the responsibility and the... But it's in those moments that I feel like this playfulness, this lightness of the heart can really bring that liberation. And this is what Sagittarius teaches us. This is where your Venus also lies, what you value. It's, hey, the highest wisdom, the highest knowledge of Sagittarius, that is one big adventure and joker. That's what it is. It's one big ride.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing too to mention, is like in those moments, you're taking yourself really seriously, asking what would be the opposite I could do right now, like what would be the least serious thing I could do right now, and or just like letting your mind go there, start exploring. Like your imagination is so powerful. So because I used to actually be the most serious kid ever, I should mention this. I didn't
oh yeah Capricorn sun, I imagine.
Yeah, when people would say jokes, I was like, that's not silly, that's not funny. I would say that all the time. I'm like, that's not funny. Like, I don't get it. And then because I was taking everything so serious. And so now that I like remove that from myself, also traveling, the Balinese, for instance, they are the most playful humans. They want to play with you with everything. And so traveling makes you see new perspectives as well, and opens your mind in those kind of ways. But anyways, yeah, I just wanted to add that in there.
Beautiful. And so the last question, maybe, let's see, I would like to ask you, in the light of transitions, what are you transitioning into right now? Like, what is something that you are claiming and breathing and leaving and choosing?
I am transitioning really into stability and security. This is something that I've not had a lot of in my life, and I'm really good at managing chaos. So I'm really transitioning to this, like, for myself, within myself, this security and stability, like really deep within, so that I can blossom into this limitlessness. Like, that was my word of the year, is limitless. And with that, you need that really strong foundation. And I have not had that in my family and all these other things. And sometimes I found it in other people, but then I realized, okay, no, it really, really, really needs to come from within me. So it's a simple but like really powerful one for me.
Beautiful. And how are you anchoring that into your field?
Oh, it's still unfolding, but it's more discipline. I am trying to really stick to my word, integrity with my word, with my rituals, with having a solid home. I was moving I've moved so much the past 3 years. Oh God, it's ridiculous how much I've moved. And so making that a thing, nope, I actually need to be in one home. I want to be by myself for a solid amount of time. So starting to add these elements of, what does stability look like? What does security look like? So that I can feel safer in my feminine, because I love my feminine, but my feminine needs my masculine, which is that So just reevaluating some choices that I was making and trying to infuse more of those things that make me feel sturdy.
Holding that for you and joining it. Wishing that balance and that sense of inner safety, inner and outer safety, truly for everyone, holding that vision for humanity, especially at these times. And it starts with us, it starts with our loved ones, it starts with our communities. This is where we have that influence, that outreach, that magnetic pull right away, and then anchoring it through and allowing this light to spread. Yeah, so thank you for holding the torch. Thank you for being that light, that guiding force for so many. And if people want to connect with you more and feel this yummy radiance of yours more, what are the spaces that you have for them?
Amazing. Thank you so much for having me. It
It's absolute pleasure.
was so okay, so my business is Alive to Enjoy, and it actually was created from all the deaths that I experienced because I realized how short life was, and I was like, why is no one prioritizing? Why am I not prioritizing my joy? And I want to help people. So anyways, Alive to Enjoy. Boom, bada bang. You can find me on every social media platform. I have a podcast, Heart Snuggles 2,
I
which
love
is
that.
beautiful on as well. So you can check out her episode on mine. And I am hosting a retreat in Bali, the Alive to Enjoy retreat. So that's a fun place. I also have a beautiful program called Endless Romance, which is a one-to-one container for those looking to have that love that feels like home, whether you're in a partnership or you're single. So yeah, you can find me there. I love to chat. Send me a DM and I hope to connect. I love, love, love meeting new people.
Fuck, I love that. And I'm just like overjoying, that's a new word that we just
I
invented.
like it.
Like
I like
just
it.
seeing, that ascendant in Taurus, which is the archetype of the sensual lover that you bring and you radiate, and it is one big mirror that you're holding for others while bringing them down into the core of what needs to be done with that Capricorn. So much beautiful earthiness, while also bringing that playful expansion of the moon in Gemini. So thank you, thank you, thank you, for being such a beautiful example. And I can't wait. Like, I'm really excited for the people that will get to experience you more deeply through all of these offerings. Thank you for coming and sharing yourself and your love.
Thank you, beautiful.
Cool.